Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Get a simple meditation this time, I think. But nonetheless, it's in our face. We who might be willing to admit for sure to ourselves and everybody in this room, if not even people outside the room, that we are seeking a higher truth. Some people might be as bold as to use the word God. Everybody here is probably comfortable with spiritual journey. That's pretty easy to say. How? Is the next question will come out. You're at the gas pump, you know, you're just, hey, what's that big book in your back seat? So, A Course in Miracles is going to use this word as an insight into the ego, but it's also an insight to what the hell you're doing here tonight, in a way. So let's just take a minute. Like I say, it's kind of simple. We're not going as deep as we go, maybe some of the other ones. Let's just look for a moment at this word, how it applies. This word, religion.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can have some fun with that one.
Yeah. Let's just look at it for a little bit. What's religion? What does that mean?
All that dogma stuff.
Dogma?
Dogmas, rules, the word I don't really like.
It's got rules. Yeah. Dogma means kind of, you know, procedural.
It's like you have right. to join it and be it.
There's a right way. There's a right way.
Right way, wrong way.
There's a wrong way. What?
A set of beliefs. Like almost like a code, a set of beliefs.
It's like a code. It's a set.
It's a moral code, an arbiter of morals.
Yeah, morals.
Morality.
Yeah, morality. And if you follow them, you're moral. And if you do not,
you're
a sinner.
Branded a sinner.
Yeah. You branded even, labeled.
Yeah. It's man-made structure.
It's a structure made up for what purpose? Why does
so
it?
Follow me.
What's its goal? Follow?
You will follow me.
To control the masses.
Control the masses.
Mass control the masses.
Yeah. Is that what they call it, mass?
Yeah.
What's a religion supposed to do?
Supposed to teach you about what, you know, God or whatever the God is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's got a goal.
I mean, religions aren't developed for the purpose of being bad. I mean, they're developed with good intentions.
to be helpful.
I would assume, I would hope, most of them.
Give you a code of morals, ethics, things to do right.
Religion takes your power and makes you think it's outside.
Yes.
Outside is
outside. Yeah.
Yeah. And on the positive spin, you would offer it your power, your negative ego, cheating, lying, stealing, gluttonous, envious, greedy,
lustful
powers, all those ugly powers, the sins, the seven deadly sins.
Seven deadlies.
What?
Seven deadlies.
The seven deadlies, take them. Hell, why don't you volunteer to give them over? And follow the dictates, the code of your religion, and then, you know, they stay in the masses. I grew up Catholic. They closed the book and said, go forth and sin no more. Just showed you how not to sin, you sinners. By the way, you're sinners.
It takes your responsibility.
Ooh, ooh.
It sucks it out of you and puts it outside of you.
Interesting. Yes.
I think sociologically, it's, you know, if you look at it just purely from a structural viewpoint, how it interacts with society, it's a way to put order into society.
Yes.
So that people are all on the same page.
Same page.
They don't, you know, people don't do crazy stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's acceptable behavior, this moral thing. But order in society, and then we can all pitch in if something's out of order. And because the book says, we know what's out of order. It does take the individual's decision making on in order, out of order, potentially away. If you're really, really dogmatic, if you're really orthodox, and you do it exactly and only the way the book says. Some places women aren't allowed to drive cars, and that's like sin for some reason. Yes.
Well, then doesn't it's like if you follow the rules, what you have faith in is then guaranteed. You don't have to.
Bonus!
Yes.
Bonus! Right. Religion says if you do all this right, you are guaranteed salvation.
And oh, so sad for you that you're not doing it right because you're not guaranteed salvation. But I am.
Oh. Oh. Right. That would be the other side of the coin. If somehow you didn't read the full Vatican II, I think it's like, I don't know, what is it? 3,000-4,000 pages? It's two huge volumes. You might do something wrong and be disqualified. And if you are, check out chapter whatever, and there's a place for those who are not guaranteed. In fact, you're kind of guaranteed not to go to heaven if you don't follow the rules.
Or you might go to purgatory and never get out.
Ah, you could circle for a while there. There's a place.
It depends on what religion you're talking about.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's
yeah.
I think you're referring to Christianity as what?
Well. Yeah.
There's sex, there's cults.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's Hinduism, and they are caste orders, and you stay in a caste order until you learn all your lessons. And then you can go to a different caste. Don't marry outside of your caste, because that fouls up the plans, and you will then be rejected from proceeding. And it gets very complex. Yeah, it's like a religion, right?
But yeah. Certain aspects of Buddhism is less structured. So.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Certain more modern forms of Buddhism don't require as many, adhere to so many different rules and stuff.
Yeah, Buddhism has like probably all religions, even Course in Miracles now, recently. Buddhism and most of these pursuits, these religions, these pursuits of the higher truth, God, if you will, have divided. Because our politics are divided. We've got Democrats and Republicans, you know, and Buddhism also divided early on to Hinayana and Mahayana, and one of them is kind of dogmatic.
Yeah.
And you got to follow these writings, and you got to do it this way through monasteries, etc. And the other is like, oh man, loosen up. It's about you. You're the Buddha. You know, and so it's, yeah, it's true. It's different. And so all sorts of these, in A Course in Miracles, has got a little division trying to happen. There's a group in the Midwest. They've got their own property. They've got the leader. They've got their version of A Course in Miracles, you know, which is pretty much the same book. And he's the dude, and they're the followers, and it's very, very literal.
Do they all live on the same? Do they all live
together? They live together. Yeah, they is like a cult, you might say.
Mm. They structured it.
Yeah, they structured it, and yeah, I've heard a lot of good things and some not so good things. It's just interesting that there's those who say, oh, we want to do it this pure way. Where can you go to be so pure? Well, go to Wisconsin. Yeah, and the Jewish religion has got the Orthodox Jews, and there's a certain way to dress, right? You have to wear a certain hat. You have to get the facial hair, maybe, as particular.
We are such funny things.
Is what?
We are such funny beings, creatures.
Yeah. But don't they get strength from doing it right? I love it. New girl, your name is?
Donna.
I love what Donna said. I'm sorry, I'm horrible at names. She said, there's a benefit. If you follow the rules, then you can relax. You're in. You're guaranteed to go to heaven. You please God, and He will let you in. He won't put you in this purgatory place.
Oh, who says?
Or you won't be lost in this reincarnational cycle forever and ever.
When your life is not going well, it's because you're displeased the Lord, and you're not in His favor because you.
This
you
is evidence.
Be doing something wrong.
You must not be following the rules. If your life's not going well, if somehow you became sick, well, you deserve that, you sinner. Well, you wouldn't be sick if you were following the rules.
Yeah.
And God loves his children, okay, but he doesn't love the ones that are bad. Right.
You brought it on yourself.
You brought it on yourself. It's for your own good. Right?
That's like the opposite of the forgiveness.
Yes. Yes.
That's not forgiveness.
It's how A Course in Miracles teaches. It does not A Course in Miracles right. teaches.
Every religion thinks that their God is better than the other one.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you can't have that.
Competition among
truths. That concept is when you really join something, you know, it's like everybody else guilty. Makes everybody else guilty.
Uh-huh.
Yes. How, you know, and Micheline just said all paths lead to the same place. And truthfully, I don't know where I would be if I hadn't been brought up with all the rules and the dogma and everything to eventually break away from it. At least it put me on a path of wanting to know more about God, because I heard enough along my journey, mm-hmm. right or wrong as it was, to get me to where I am now.
Yeah. Okay. So, yes.
Well, I also think, it's easy to sit and critique, but I think that all religions, and I would say a similarity to spirituality, is that it's giving answers. And so, you know, just like, you know, for somebody, when something does go wrong, it isn't always a God's punishing me. Sometimes it's like, oh, this is his will. And there's like this freedom and like not needing to be in control of that. So for some, there's answers. And I'm just speaking to that faith because I know it better. But this path is giving us answers too. And it's like we all want that. We want something to just like help us not feel so alone or not feel so afraid, or to answer the bigger questions of what happens next and like also what, why am I even here? So I feel like there's more in common. I mean, I know the structural things and the problems. I came from there too. But it's like, I think there's more in common.
To offer some grounding authority. Mm-hmm. To offer a set of truths that could guide us to understanding. Well, Buddhism is mostly that. Just a whole bunch of truths that just so solid. You live this way, you'll be happier. There's no God in Buddhism. You don't go there. And I kind of co-opted Walt's comment. You know, he said it takes away your power to be responsible. You know, kind of all the things we study in Course in Miracles, you know, it's kind of what the spiritual path is about. Is about your power, your participation. And then the religious path is about how you can satisfy this power outside of you. Very, very different.
That part I definitely agree with, yeah.
Now, if you're somebody who's been behaving with some pretty unhealthy powers, it might be good to find some place to put them, to turn them over. Say, I release my X power and I give it up. I give it over to, in service of, let me just translate it now. Give this, maybe I won't do this anymore. If I have some higher reference point, show me what to say and do instead. How to be. Well, for starters, you're going to wear the special hat. It's going to be a proof to you, okay, and to God and to all your neighbors that you are a follower. Every week, at the right time, you're going to sit in one of these chairs here and you're going to go through the beads, or you're going to read the thing, or you're going to smell the incense. And this will help you to relinquish your rotten, sinful behavior. Now, that sounds really helpful to me. To a lot of people who really have been self-destructive.
I think somewhere in a drawer I still have my doily.
Yeah.
To put on my head.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, you got protection there, huh? Little insurance?
Yes.
Is that what it is, Kim? Little insurance?
Way ahead of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And everything in between. And everything in between. It's certainly... billions of people can't be wrong. There must be something good, helpful.
I love the irony of that.
Yes.
I think, you know, probably the way religion started was, you know, somebody like, you know, Jesus or, you know, farther back had insights, were able to have the patience to observe things in themselves and other people, and then shared that with other people. And then more and more people wanted to know what they were thinking and talking about. And that's how religions grew.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. And they got those people who were sharing seemed happy,
right,
or strong.
Or, you know, maybe just that they had more passion about living.
Yeah. Yeah.
More energy, more, you know, they attracted other people because they were excited about something.
They were so excited about something that, yeah, when they got together, they would sing. They're so excited.
Right.
You could hear it. They ring bells. What is going on over there?
Yeah. I think probably the happiness part is, like, overdone. And probably most people, they weren't more happy, but they had more something.
Something.
Yeah.
There's a question mark something.
Yeah.
Has everybody been to, what's it called over in SoCal? I'm not sure if it's even still open. The Center for Spiritual Enlightenment or something. That
Living?
Center for Spiritual Living?
Conscious Living.
Conscious Living. Is that what it is? Pretty big hall over there. They put 100 or 200 people in there.
Inner Life.
Is that it?
On SoCal.
On SoCal?
Yeah.
Inner Life.
Is it still around? Still do that?
Yeah.
Boy, you gotta go there at least once. And they have a choir of like 20 or 30 people who are singing. And whenever they sing, the words love, light, sharing, hope, prayer, happiness, and togetherness is always in every single song. Just tears coming down my face. I feel this energy with all these, they're putting their hands up as they sing at the top of their lungs about love and light and love. And wow, this is, wow. People are going like this and singing with them. And I'm going like this. I don't know the words, but it's a very moving.
Yeah. There's a group of, there's a group of Hasidic Jews in Israel, and it's like they're Orthodox, but they go around and they dance and they sing, which is not allowed in most Orthodox Jewish. But they believe that the way towards God is to be as happy as possible. So they do as many things that they can be happy throughout the day. It's
what does Course in Miracles say that God's plan for you? What does God say your function is?
To be happy, to be joyful.
What kind of happiness, though?
Joy.
Remember Masako? What kind of happiness? How does it phrase that? God's will for me is?
Perfect.
Perfect. Happiness. What a coincidence. Yeah. When you're really happy, funny thing happens with your heart and time. Doesn't time get kind of messed with a bit when you're really happy? Doesn't time fly when you're having fun? Really? Not just a saying. Yeah, something's happening. It's different. When you're really, really sad, time drags. Oh, can I please just go to sleep or something instead of this? Right? So opposite of happiness. Something is happening, whatever it is. That mystery of life is happening. Some people, you could definitely tap that to spirituality. Indeed, there's a joy or a bliss. A lot of people take enlightenment and mix it up with that. Not bad. It's a great sales pitch. You know, enlightenment is bliss. It's a great sales pitch.
Follow your bliss.
Yeah. Well, it's only half true, you know. But that's for discussing another night.
Yeah,
so religion. Huh, okay. I love this. Somebody got together. Somebody was a little more organized about things. They smiled a lot. People flocked around them. And they were singing and clapping. And I want to sing and clap too. I don't mind. And I got sucked into it because I got happy, let's say. And now I wanted to find out, well, what are you reading? What are you studying? Pretty soon, before you know it, you're in a religion. And you don't want it to stop. Yeah. Sure. Powerful thing in this planet Earth, these bodies.
And really suck you in like you have. You know, I look back and I just like hated that, but yet, you know, it has some stuff that wasn't cool, but it got me here. It made me decide, I want to know what the truth is.
Yeah.
I'm tired of that. And in that, I just knew inside there was lies.
Yeah.
But it took a long time for me to just let that whole thing go.
Yeah, I think it was a big structured invitation for me, too.
Yeah, I was like you, raised Catholic. I went to school, Catholic school, and it just... Mm-hmm. You
know. Somebody had the answers, so I went to go see what they had to say. I mean, God, look how big the buildings are. They must be right. Have you ever been in a building so big? Wow. Yeah, well, yeah.
Everybody's trying to understand what that thing is, which is separation from God, and they create all these things that don't, but they don't know how to identify what that thing is because they don't know it's separation from God. Mm-hmm. So they create all these different things to try to heal that thing that's missing.
Yeah.
Which is that gap.
Yeah. And what you might imagine, you know, same for any other spiritual or religious path, is there some guru who really does have it figured out, but they're so far from that sinner who's just trying to stop sinning. How can they communicate?
It's hard to communicate.
Hard to communicate. Mm-hmm. So they wrote some things down maybe, and they got some practices and some to try to help move them in the right direction. You can't just tell them, they wouldn't understand. It's an interesting challenge, really. And for me, one of the things, the big wake-ups for me in religion versus spirituality when I was reading through the Bible was fear is a tool that religion uses. It's kind of a handy tool, really. You know, you can't be out there... What?
It's the fear of God. It's
the
fear of the thing that we separated from so that we don't go to that.
To police, right?
Right.
To enforce, to help you.
Yeah.
Not... steal your neighbor's cows or wife or whatever. So there's a code or a rule. Don't do that. It's bad if you do.
You lose your hand. And your head.
Or your sight. Or
get stoned. And I mean that in a bad way.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Santa Cruz is like, right on! Not that kind of
thing. Gotta make that distinction in Santa Cruz.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm struggling, though, Andrew, with this conversation, because mm-hmm. by making this distinction, I feel like it's bringing out our judgments.
Yes.
And I came from Catholicism, too, and I rejected this book for a whole year because of the words that were in it,
yes.
the terms.
Yes.
And I thought I had healed that.
Uh-huh.
And this book showed me that I was still holding on to all of that angst. Mm. And this book mm-hmm. allowed me to heal that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hold animosity, and I'm grateful, and I'm happy my family is Catholic and all of that, because
yes.
I still feel like they have this compassion that they want to give to others.
Yes.
They want to support others. And
they want to. Key word.
Yes. And in many ways, they do.
It's enough. It's the same.
Enough to want.
Whether they actually do it or they want to do it, we've learned in this room, is the same.
Yeah.
There's a drive beyond the self.
Yes.
And sometimes it does externalize, as Walt's saying. I see all the problems with it, but like... I don't want to fixate on what's wrong because I want to embrace the sameness that we're trying to find those answers.
Yes.
And I'm able to use those. Yes. I couldn't even use the word prayer or whatever before because I didn't want to associate at all. I didn't want to say Christ-mindedness or any. And now I can use those words again and
nice.
I can meet my
nice.
Family in a different place.
Nice.
And so anyway, I'm just struggling a little bit with...
That's beautiful. Well, just summarized everything I'm trying to say, is that we can join... I mean, I'm trying to point out how helpful religion is and has been. Even fear as a tool is really helpful for somebody who actually doesn't want to have things stolen from themselves. Will do unto others as you have them do unto you. Or else. With the or else part, you know, that was kind of needed for some people who said, why not? Well, okay. And then what? Life's better when you do unto others as you have them do unto you. Then they start doing unto you as you've done unto them. It's all good. Something good happened. Okay. more importantly, is being able to join with those who are heavy religion, using the codes, going for the guarantee, cashing in on the guarantee, and following that route. Can we join with them? And you took us right there. Mm-hmm. I love how you said you couldn't even pray before because of the strict nature and costs of praying to turn your power over to something outside of you. That was, for me, it was a big cost of praying that I didn't quite like. But you said A Course in Miracles helped you come back around and see prayer differently. It uses the same word here, but it defines it differently. One that I can get along with. And now, when I hear prayer, do prayer, even join in prayer with those in the religious codified narrow way, it's a very full experience. Mm-hmm. I am joining with them. We are going to the same place. We just do it very differently. Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. Thank you.
Andrew, what Course in Miracles did for me was it transformed, because I've always been on a spiritual path, but I had all those fears and guilt and shame and things that come out of, even though I got a lot out of it, and I'm not judging the religion, because I did get, I put everything of me into it, but this turned it into a spiritual, it brought God out there and put God in here and made me whole where I wasn't before.
So what is now spirituality?
Spiritual is, it's unfolding of who.
Yeah, it's hard.
What was she kind of just said it, didn't she?
Yeah.
She, it's pretty
beautiful. Your soul. It's the you. It's the I am. It's the essence of what we are. It's the spirit of us.
Well, what's spirituality versus religion? You used the word, I hope. You've used it along the way.
Well, it's assuming responsibility.
Spirituality. What does it mean you're on a spiritual journey?
I think it's you're on, like, it's an inward journey, and interpretation of the unknown, how it affects you, and you know, it's the energy that you find within yourself.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah. Energy you find, okay. We're trying to learn, find.
Well,
but within
it's
yourself.
It's already there. It's not like you find it. You discover it, but it's...
But it's in.
It's in you. I mean, that's what it is for me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
And that's why I can come here and listen and study this, and also go to hear somebody talk about Buddhism.
Yes.
Because there's a certain commonality with that.
Yes.
You know.
You bet, big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's kind of like everything.
What?
Spirituality to me is like, it's huge. It's like everything. It's like everything has been
not one
acceptable.
Thing.
You know. It's not. Yeah. It's like it's kind of hard to describe. But it's like all the beliefs.
That's everything is one
like
thing.
Like a circle.
That's what, yeah.
Like all the places on the circle. It just, it's,
yeah.
It's hard to describe a lot of times.
Yeah, what is it? What is it? Are you on a spiritual journey or are you on a religious journey?
Got none of the religious stuff.
Donna.
For sure.
Well, I was trying to, when you said that, I first didn't know what you were going to say next. I thought, well, this is odd that I've never thought about that because, you know, from the time I was younger, people would say, well, you're just really kind of a spiritual person. I just took it for granted that, yeah, that's probably true, but I never asked what they were saying. But it seems like there's, and people have already said this, but it seems like there's something very alive about it. It's an energetic that's encompassing everything, and you're moving in it and with it at the same, you know, you're alive inside something.
Mm-hmm. Something, this energy... Yeah. That is everywhere and seems to be common.
It's unseen.
It's unseen, and you're included in it. In found it in me.
And if you've got that ease of being in and among the everything without defense, attack, resistance, and judgment, you're a spiritual person? Dalai Lama spiritual?
Well, I gotta wonder, in most religions there is a particular dogma. In spirituality, there's more, the conversation is more like the practice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, particularly when I started exploring Eastern religions, you could actually have your own experience mm-hmm. of being connected. Mm-hmm. Your own, and I refer to it as sometimes jokingly as a religious experience.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But there's just something different down when you go down the spiritual path. It really is about your actual personal experience, as opposed to religion, who says dogma, 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 this is how it is, they tell us how it is. We don't actually necessarily, there's not practice involved in having your own experience of that.
Isn't this a crossing point?
There is. But
when you got the religion dogma.
Even when you get into Eastern religions, there definitely is dogma.
Yes, yes, they got books, they got things to do.
Right, but it still seems to me, because I never go deep into the dogma. I've stuck my toe in the water of just about everything you can think of. At some point, I'm more interested in the experience. I don't really give a crap about the dogma. Even if you go online, Google free meditations, free guided meditations.
Yeah.
There's amazing stuff out there. And you look at the dogma behind that particular group, and it's like, oh, that's just not my thing.
Tell me about this quote. You could be air quotes when you said it.
But the meditation thing was amazing.
Tell me about this religious experience. What is he, here he's talking about? The person who just stands up out of their pew. Everybody else is sitting, but he says, oh, hey. He says, whoa, something struck. Had a religious experience, that guy. Couldn't sit anymore.
Yeah, but you could have that on acid, too.
Yes. Yes. You could have an experience on acid induced by a drug that probably is going to have a lot of the same descriptions that I think we're going to end up with when somebody here actually defines a religious experience. Religious experience is not reading through the entire Bible nonstop. Did it. Whew. That's not it, right?
No.
That's not what we're talking
doing.
About.
It's not a doing. It's a being.
It's a being.
Yeah.
Something mm-hmm. happened inside the person who happened to be doing a particular religion, and it lit up something inside them, and people on the outside could tell something on the inside was happening.
Well,
did I get that right? Is that
not
a religious experience?
Still not addressing what is difficult to articulate what. Because I'm trying to think of some occasions where I went, wow, that was a religious experience, you know?
Good, good.
And I can't really think of anything, but...
How about religion? You have to join religion. I don't have to join spiritual, I am.
What's your religious experience?
I don't know that I have.
Religious experience is
suspension.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
Connected by the... But understood within the iconography of a certain religion.
Well, you can't have, in my world, you can't have a religious experience and you be there. It's like the moment you're having a religious experience, you've disappeared.
What about when you're really, 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 really happy?
What?
Well, I have...
You're not there. The time is gone. The detail...
The ego. I had one of the best spiritual workouts about a week ago where I was working out in the gym and I'm listening to great Christian music. And it was an experience. It was an hour and a half of intense workout.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Well, how was it different? How was it different than community?
Because I was filled with joy.
Joy?
I didn't even know I was working out. I had so much joy because I'm listening to this music that I love.
Yes.
And I know it to be true, and I believe everything that it says. It makes my heart
Did you love the music?
Jump. Yes.
Your joy? You were in love?
So that was not a religious experience. That was a spiritual
And was your
experience.
And your body was kind of going with the music, moving actually with the music.
Yeah.
So you were aligned.
Yeah.
With you were in sync with what you were experiencing, body and mind
mm-hmm.
and heart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow! Tell
that
me more.
A spiritual experience.
This is an experience she's describing.
I had a spiritual experience. I was telling my friends a month or so ago getting a pedicure, mm-hmm. and this woman was amazing. Just the one, you know, just the rubbing of my legs, the gentleness and the care.
Yeah.
At the end, we both did one of these. Yeah. It was so amazing. I just, yes. thank you.
Yes.
That was a spiritual experience.
It was this elevated, aligned moment of cooperation, and you were in the middle of it.
Yes.
Unlike the commute. Well, you got to shift the gears, hit the brake. You'd rather go a lot faster.
Yeah, those aren't so spiritual.
It's not the same experience we're talking about.
So, actually, I was going to ask that.
It could be.
Yeah. So, but I was going to ask that because you said something a while ago. You said, well, if you do this, you're a spiritual person. So, but, I mean, I have these great experiences.
Yes.
I'm on this search all the time.
Yeah, so you've been there, had them.
But I still have judgments.
But you felt them, you know them, they're elevated experience of ease and bliss and happiness.
So in that moment of judgment,
want it back?
Am I still a spiritual person?
My only question is what's a religious experience?
Oh, okay? I don't know.
You just described it beautifully. You've said it more times than anybody here.
No, that was a spiritual experience.
Oh.
Well, that's where it intersects. Well,
but intersects.
Didn't we say it? You see,
did you say intersects?
No.
Yeah. You know, some people describe you have a really, 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 really good piece of chocolate cake, and you go,
Nirvana.
It was so perfect. You know, it's got that. The chocolate was just slightly, I don't know, a flame or something. You put a little crisp on the top, and then the gooey in the inside is not oversweet. Touch of liqueur in there. And oh, the cake part was so moist. And then the bottom crust is this dark black Oreo cookie or something. I don't know what that is, but it's great. All of it.
Sounds like when Donald Trump said that really beautiful chocolate cake.
Yeah. That reminded me of an occasion. That food thing I related to because I had what I have referred to as a religious experience.
Yes.
At a little cafe in Sacramento.
Okay.
In a little neighborhood.
Right there.
And they make, and I ate there a couple of times, and they make, and their breakfast potatoes are just amazing, and I just loved them, but I couldn't figure out, 'cause it always like stirred something in me, but I couldn't tell what it was. And then, like the third time I had them, what I realized is they're like a little overcooked, not mashed, but not together, and then nice little crispy crust on them off the grill. And
where is it?
It's how my grandmother used to make breakfast potatoes.
Yes.
And the moment that I got that, I swear to God, like a millisecond or less.
Yes.
I like time travel. I was at my grandma's house. I could smell my grandma's house. I could see her in the kitchen.
Yep.
I could see my grandpa sitting there.
Yep.
It's like, it was so moving that it just brought me to tears.
Yes.
So
moving.
The server asked me, so how was your breakfast? And I said, oh my God, you have no idea.
Yeah, she's
and I told her the story and she started crying. She says, you don't know how great it is to hear that. I've had such a shitty day, and that just made my day.
Wow.
And it was like, just, you know, odd things like that.
And Miracle Principle 8.
Unexpected.
You were there performing Miracle Principle 8 out of Course in Miracles. You temporarily, had more, a lot more. And she temporarily has less. And as you two joined over the potatoes, the miracle was transferred. Mm-hmm. The beautiful thing.
It really was.
You were elevated in the same way that his hash browns. You were elevated into a rare bliss experience. And we call them holy instants here because you don't actually have to get the right potatoes to have them. Or the perfect music and everything.
But it helps.
It's a drug. Right?
It is.
With drugs, I'm not a big drug experience guy, but so anybody jump in, but you could get to an elevated state of freedom and no worry and full confidence and
apparently some of the good stuff, people tell me, huh?
That's why people take
drugs. Down the mountain again.
And then you want to take the drug again. You want to go back and get those potatoes. Why don't we just go to Denny's? It's closer. No, you don't understand. Not Denny's. Not Waffle House. This is the place. And when you see the tears form in his eyes, please, let's go there. Okay. Because he's so convincing. He knows something. I mean, I know. I believe he knows something about those potatoes. I believe it. You know. Is that cool?
So in, what's the word? In defense for things that are simple in my life. Even when I wake up in the morning and in my right-mindedness, I make that deep connection with my pillow and how amazingly pleasure it gives me. Simple, everyday things.
Yes.
And I believe that those simple moments, which adds up to 24/7, can be realized.
Yes.
It's her choice to be still and just sort of open yourself up to, like, it's already here.
Yes. Yes.
So
it's the poor man's enlightenment to take a drug, to get the potato, to know how to go to the right jazzercise class. It's the poor man's enlightenment. It's extremely, extremely valuable. Everybody, really, it's a kind of way of getting a jump start on a spiritual journey, is to have a very, very good experience to which you can point. It's really good. Course in Miracles talks about perfect happiness, and you have an idea what it is. You have an idea what it is. You have an idea. Everybody here has an idea of what perfect happiness might be like.
And I think one of the access points, at least in my experience, that has nothing to do with what's actually going on, but to be in the state of appreciation and gratitude. There's some place that will take me. Circumstances don't have to be any different. They could. Yesterday, those same circumstances sucked.
Yes.
Today, I have nothing but gratitude.
Yes.
And appreciation for those same things.
And it takes
and
you.
Some, I don't know, there's some weight.
Describe that.
The days that I've been in that state.
Yeah.
And Santa Cruz has made a big impact on me in that particular way, because I came from a very, very high-pressure job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just walking the dog on Westcliff, and it's just so fucking beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just, and I'm not a person who goes around going, wow, what a beautiful day. You know, it's just people talk to me from Sacramento, they go, what happened to you?
Yeah.
So, but there's just something about being in that state that just, there's just a rightness.
It moves you, right? It takes you, as you were describing.
Well, it's so free.
It's freeing. I don't know. It's just that whole, you know, in contrast to worrying about every detail of a very high-pressure job.
You forget your worries.
It's an in-the-moment thing.
You're on the same side of the street.
You see, like, a good drug will push away all your sorrows. All of them, 100%. That's why it's heroin, you know, these heavy-duty drugs.
So will appreciation.
You'll be so blissed out for the next 15 minutes. You won't sleep for 3 days after, but you are just going wow. So free. People have told me about the drugs this way. And you, without taking the drugs, it is kind of a drug to go out on Westcliff. I was running on the beach with the dog just over the weekend. It was just in the evening, 5 o'clock, the sun is low, the entire rock is lit up, it must be 6 stories high of rock, it's glowing, and the beach is glowing, and the dog is prancing, and I'm prancing, and it was great. It's just open and wonderful. I just lived in those few moments really, really nicely. It was good living. That's not cool.
It's very difficult to have an experience and then intellectually trying to explain it, because it really doesn't do justice. Mm-hmm. So,
I got this potato thing pretty good.
Yeah.
I got the cake going.
You got the cake going, and I got this dancing music thing, which is everything.
That's
not bad, but
I know.
But despite all that, go ahead.
There are those special moments.
Yeah.
So I feel like, should I even mention this? And yet, all I have, as long as I'm in my body, are words to express,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And so I always think when I have those moments of, to me, they're gratitude, of course, but there's a sense of grace and beauty, and there is a sense of just uniting, mm-hmm. becoming one with what that is. And so the way that I explain it, it really is, because in that oneness, mm-hmm. in that perfection and wholeness, mm-hmm. that they're just God.
Yes.
And so God, me being God, it experiences itself, mm-hmm. and it comes back whole. Mm-hmm. And so it's like this whole completion. Mm-hmm. It's just so... it's just totally so simple, mm-hmm. and it's very powerful in that simplicity. Mm-hmm. And for me, those moments of just being in my life the way it is, mm-hmm. and for me to be mindful enough to wake up, mm-hmm. and just be in that presence that I am one, I am God extending, having my experience.
Without resistance, uh-huh. without effort. An interesting alignment is occurring in these wonderful moments we're describing. Spiritual. We put this word on it, that it's not my burdened body with all its to-do lists and bank account and relationships to uphold and responsibilities at work, and it's not that that I'm experiencing so much. It's in the middle of all that, I'm free and aligned with this mysterious energy that didn't come from anywhere outside. Somehow, it's triggered, turned on, inside. And then all these spiritual pursuits seem to talk about that, or religious pursuits seem to talk about on the outside. Very good.
The idea of removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. It's like in these moments, your true self emerges, and you those walls are gone. I was just talking. I volunteer with hospice. I was just talking to a volunteer who. Like lost their first patient, but it was they had like connected with this woman that they never thought in real life that they would have gotten along with, would have liked, you know, not a personality match, but here she just like fell in love with this patient, and she was trying to put words to what that was, and I related so much because there's some gift in the dying that their walls come down, mm-hmm. and when their walls are down, it's this invitation for you to let yours down. Mm-hmm. And I think, well, I know that is actually who we are. And so that reminder, well, it's very emotional actually, because you touch into that. And for me, it doesn't matter what the holy instant is, but, We have to get out of our own way. We have to like let those blocks come down. And each time that we do that, it becomes easier to. And even like, you know, the pillow example, like these most mundane examples, like if we actually let ourselves enjoy and appreciate that moment, because normally it's like, oh, I gotta get on with my day or whatever. And those are just more blocks. Mm-hmm. They're not.
It's missing the present. Mm-hmm. The pillow, hope everybody has a favorite pillow. Mm-hmm. I hope I do. And it works great.
I used to. Now I have four.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a great way to experience a free drug. It's to be present. Be present with an alignment. Like I say, it's really a poor man's spiritual enlightenment, because there is something outside involved. But at least you're there and witnessing it, taking it in. Just like any math example in school was not real math applied, they're made up.
But if you spend time with them, you will learn math. Even though they're in a book, all staged, they're all pretend questions. But if you spend time with these experiences, something inside you shifts and becomes more real. And understanding occurs. This is what the path of enlightenment is to connect with this spiritual essence in you. You discover in you this driving force, this energy.
It's like straddling two different worlds.
Indeed. Absolutely. One that blocks the awareness of love's presence, and the other one that abides in love's presence as love. Two really different. Mm-hmm. Really different. But isn't it interesting how, in the world that is running from love, we end up smack dab with love from time to time? Isn't that interesting? And the Course says it this way. It says, the loveliest place on earth is where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. Present is the door to any spiritual experience or love experience. Love does not happen outside of the present. You will not love tomorrow. The love yesterday is not real. If you feel it now about yesterday, that's real. Isn't that interesting? A present love. This is real. This is getting toward the truth.
Mm-hmm. So, Tuesday night, I went to a meeting. Mm-hmm. I was perfectly fine. I went to the gym, I worked out, I went to the meeting, I was in a really good place. And a past love did this to me again. Mm. Just twanged me.
Yeah.
And so I went home and I really need to get with God and just free up from this. But I'll watch this TV program first, just to zone out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to zone
break
out.
Break the cycle.
So then
I
zoned out. I thought, maybe it'll go away if I just do this. I zoned out on the TV program, and then the whole TV program, I'm going, I really got to get with God, because this isn't helping at all.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, so I did. I did. Mm-hmm. And it was right before I went to bed, and I'm already late because I go to bed at 9 o'clock, and I'm already past that. Mm. And then I go into my meditation and get with God. And I'm like, it was like, oh, you know, mm-hmm. why didn't I do this sooner? Mm. Because now I can't be here as long as I want to be. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that thought went through, but yes. I just sat there mm-hmm. with the peace
yeah.
of the mm-hmm. moment
yeah.
of the. True
yes.
experience
yes.
of love.
And then wouldn't this what the guru would have advised while you were watching your TV and going through the Haagen-Dazs or whatever it is you were doing to try to smooth over? The guru would say, you know, and it was you, by the way, the guru was present, you know, mm-hmm. Kim, the Course student, knows these things, mm-hmm. was saying, you know what, getting with God, even just for like 60 seconds, would be a shift in perception would occur. Mm-hmm. If you just invite the miracle, get your Course in Miracles groove on, just for 1 or 2 minutes even. Mm-hmm. And everything will shift and you know it. Mm-hmm. But instead you might spend hours mm-hmm. entertaining the ego and its cycles of pain and promise that brings more pain because a promise isn't. Mm-hmm. And you know it. Mm-hmm. Course in Miracles is the better way. Get out of that cycle. So in religions that way, the higher religions, they say, well, here's what you got to do. This will help you get away from those practices that are absolutely disastrous. Yeah, not bad. Not so bad.
One of the things I think you're pointing to, Kim, is like sometimes we just don't have a lot of tolerance for our own humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when we're on a path, mm-hmm. there is just an aspect of how our brains work that we lust after the drug, that we're looking for that next connection, we're looking for that next
yep.
holy instant, we're looking, you know,
yes.
and we don't embrace the part that's not that. So it's sort of like, as human beings, you know, unless you're just some amazingly extraordinary human being, and most of us are really just pretty ordinary human beings. Mm-hmm. We're in, and then we're out, and then we're in, and then we're out. And in fact, I have to wonder if that's not why we're here, mm-hmm. is to have that experience, and then to attempt to do things.
Do you want more in experiences or more out experiences?
More in, of course.
Me too.
But yeah. I also know that often the outs.
Yeah.
Are just as important.
Are important, not yeah, not any fun.
Uh-huh. They reflect.
And I will also confess that often I will linger a little too long in the out. But there's something of value in the out. It's the contrast of the two.
Yeah.
But now it's not full of guilt. So it's different.
Now it's not full of guilt. So the out is more valuable now.
Well, now
the out was not valuable before. They were not the same.
Well, or it flushes out guilt, or flushes out shame, or...
Yeah.
The out made more guilt, made more shame before Course in Miracles.
Right.
With Course in Miracles, the out shows me now the next miracle that's really helpful in my awakening.
Well, the guilt having chasing my tail.
Yeah.
Guilt and fear. So if there's a cycle out of that, then I'm willing to look at things that otherwise, why would I do it?
And then when you look at it, something happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was Julie's? Or everybody says moved, right? You get moved. Something. When the out turns to an in, you get moved.
Touches and changes.
And for my money, I'm going to go that way. In my thoughts, in my teaching, in my heart, in my habits. As my reality will be that. And in the way it looks, you know, turn to page 387, paragraph 11 in the text. First person there, start reading it.
Everyone has experienced what he would call a sense of being transported beyond himself.
Beyond himself.
This feeling of liberation far exceeds the dream of freedom sometimes hoped for in special relationships. It is a sense of actual escape from limitations. If you will consider what this transportation really entails, you will realize that it is a sudden unawareness of the body and a joining of yourself in something else in which your mind enlarges to encompass it. It becomes part of you as you unite with it, and both become whole, as neither is perceived as separate. What really happens is that you have given up the illusion of a limited awareness and lost your fear of union. The love that instantly replaces it extends to what has freed you and unites with it. And while this lasts, you are not uncertain of your identity and would not limit it. You have escaped from fear to peace, asking no questions of reality, but merely accepting it. You have accepted this instead of the body and have let yourself be one with something beyond it, simply by not letting your mind be limited by it.
Thank you. A spiritual experience.
I like in sentence 7, identity is capitalized.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes. Very good. This reminds me of... kind of nice to sit after reading that in a little bit of quietness.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
Your name is Steve?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved what you said about being in the moment and just being present to what happens and what arises in that and how temporal everything is. It's the recognition that everything arises and disappears, And for me, I think the goal, and also of this book and many spiritual path, is to be able to get to a point when we begin to recognize that everything is part of who we are, which is an expression of love and acceptance and beauty and grace, and you know, you put your own label to it. And that, I think that kind of mind really allows those moments to really come about and get accomplished. It's to see everything as love. So beautiful.
Thank you, Misako. Okay, let's turn to page 402 in the text. This is where we left off last week. We're in paragraph 4. We're discussing sin versus error. Sin versus error. Anybody, real quick definition we came up with last week? Sin? What's a sin?
Isn't it something irreversible? That can't be corrected?
Can't be corrected. It's a mistake that's unforgivable. Mm-hmm. You sinned. You broke the rules big time, and you're going to go to this horrible place. Course of Miracles says, look, there is no sin, see? But it breaks it to you gently and slowly, and it says, there is no sin. You made it up. Forget about it. That's what Course says, essentially. Again and again and again and again. Because it knows that you've got this heavy heart full of guilt. And therefore sin must be real somewhere.
Is that why Christ was able to accept like prostitutes and people who were like downtrodden into as his disciples, right?
Yes.
Because he just accepted anybody, regardless of what they had done.
Yes. Their behavior did not indicate their being.
Right.
He saw himself in them.
Oh.
He saw the light in them.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the love in them.
Mm-hmm.
So it transcended the physical
mm-hmm.
and the behavioral, mm-hmm. which is the face of Christ.
Nice. Absolutely. 100%. Nicely said.
Mm.
Absolutely. Okay. Look at paragraph 4. Michaeline, would you read that for us?
Sure. A major tenet in the ego's insane religion is that sin is not error, but truth. And it is innocence that would deceive. Purity is seen as arrogance, and the acceptance of the self as sinful is perceived as holiness. And it is this doctrine that replaces the reality of the Son of God as his Father created him, and willed that he be forever. Is this humility? Or is it rather an attempt to wrest creation away from truth and keep it separate?
Okay, so we're touching on the metaphysics of separation. How is it that all of this works at all? Look, if you're God and God is true, why does this even work?
Because we misuse that power.
Yes.
We miscreate.
Yes. We did use that power. You done made a really good illusion, a keeper, because of the power from which it came. Well, the good news is that same power will bring you back to truth, to love, because there's no separation. See, you're not actually separate. You've made a very, very good attempt to be separate. And it turns out you had a pretty sweet reason for doing so. It's been co-opted in your enormous effort to be actually successful. You had to cut off your awareness of oneness and make separation hurt so you could prove that you were successful. Good job, Donna. You did it. Enough already, right? It's like, been there, done that. Now, how do I get back home? Okay, sentence 1. A major tenet. And a tenet is like the rules. Tenet is like the code. A major tenet in the ego's insane religion.
It's a doctrinal statement.
It's a doctrinal statement. And so, it says the word insane there. What insane, basically insane, right? Not sex worker. Doesn't work. A sane religion, a sane practice works. Change your oil every 3 to 10,000 miles. You got a better chance of keeping your car running.
Don't use this and blow up your car.
What?
Don't use this, blow up your car.
Yeah.
That'll be insane.
Yep. Yep. Don't put diesel in a gas car. This works better. Sane. Yeah. Major tenet of the ego's insane religion is that sin is not error, but truth, and it is innocence that would deceive. Period. Of Course in Miracles says elsewhere that what you're going to do is you're going to turn 180 degrees around from what the ego and the world is teaching, and this is the way you will go. It is the opposite. Not 89.2 degrees, depending on which way the wind's blowing. No, 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 no. It's easy. It's exactly the opposite of what the ego is teaching will be the truth.
Yes. I need help with that. Because, yes. Like, I was just home with family. Had a great time. But, and I certainly have all... I know that as I say this, I should turn the viewpoint on myself, and because I do this also. But it was a really big struggle to see all these special relationships play out, like all the guilt, the anger. Like, I just saw and heard so many things, and I kept thinking, like, I didn't know how to respond to people's storytelling.
Yes.
We often talk about this, like, do you stay silent? Do you, like, give encouraging words? Like, but it was just really hard, and I feel like the more that I wake up, it's always easier to see it in others, but the more that I actually wake up and stop engaging in that, like, I'm just seeing it everywhere else and I don't know what to do.
Yes, yes, yes. Very good. Thank you, Julie.
So what do you do?
Thank you, Julie. This is a very, very honest experience. I want to show you and reflect back to you that the way you ask that question, and everybody here knows it, whether you do or not, you ask it from a position of you do know the truth and you're somehow not doing it. The way you asked that question was with a confidence that says, I know there's a better way. I just want to reflect that to you now. Mm-hmm. It's the most important thing I can say to you now. Mm-hmm. You know all is not lost. In fact, you know that the mend is already occurring. Mm-hmm. But you had a bad day, you had a bad week. Indeed. Thank you. Absolutely. What do? Well, you know, for example, you go to workbook, lesson 8. So everybody flip to, like, page 25 or so. Let's see where it is. Lesson 8 is, no, it's more like 12, 13. Let's go to page 13 of the workbook, and it's right in the middle of the book. The numbers start over again a few times in this book. It's a combined volume. And let's just read the first 3 paragraphs of this little lesson. You got to go kind of crack the book in half. And go to page 13. And I think Masako is up.
I passed.
Okay. Then Mark is up. And it's page 13 in the workbook. Let's do a paragraph each, right?
You want me to start?
Would you please?
Okay. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. This idea is...
Hold on a minute. Would you, for us, keep your finger on this page and flip back 13 pages to the table of contents and read the first 7 lesson titles for us?
The first 7, okay. 1, nothing I see means anything. 2, I have given everything I see all the meaning that it has for me. 3, I do not understand anything I see. 4, these thoughts do not mean anything. 5, I am never upset for the reason I think. 6, I am upset because I see something that is not there. 7, I see only the past. 8, my mind is preoccupied. What number?
I want you to read 8. I want you to read 8 too. You read my mind.
My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts.
Are we busted here? A little bit, maybe? Now would you please read the lesson for us? Read that first paragraph.
This idea is, of course, the reason why you see only the past. No one really sees anything. He sees only his thoughts projected outward. The mind's preoccupation with the past is the cause of the misconception about time from which your seeing suffers. Your mind cannot grasp the present, which is the only time there is. It therefore cannot understand time and cannot, in fact, understand anything.
Period. And this is one of the moments when, in Course in Miracles, you either get depressed or you get relieved. Depends on where you are in your spiritual awakening. It can be very depressing or very relieving. It says, finally it makes sense of everything I've been through. Or it's like, what do you mean? And what good is it? What good am I? You know, you could go the other way too, right? But it does explain what happened to you as you stepped out of your groove and into your family environment.
And doesn't it also say that, like I'm thinking about what you were saying about your family, all there was you. Mm-hmm. Every human being we relate to, it's you.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's the teaching, of Course in Miracles. And all there was a present moment, but somehow you weren't in it.
So somehow I get to the point, I don't know, Steve, you kind of, but like, to me, the beauty here, the cool thing here, is you coming back around to whatever experience you had to look inside. No matter, because to me that's so important. Like, no matter what's going to happen, I am going to look out my ego eyes and make this, it's going to happen.
Yes.
What's important is I come back. What's important is, you know, I'm life, I'm resurrection. What's important is I'm here. Uh-huh. I'm here now.
Yeah.
And it's all good teachers.
Yeah.
So, no matter how it looks.
So the Course in Miracles introduces something into that formula you just beautifully described. Mm-hmm. It introduces an awareness that's called the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you know, it's not the same one in Catholic school. No, the Holy Spirit is indeed a part of your mind, connected to the truth, that will translate what your eyes see with your familiarity with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit being invited in. You recognize the wisdom of the Holy Spirit as preferred over the, quote, wisdom of your ego. And life's different. Your eyes still see. Your ego eyes still see other egos, and it makes sense of what it knew. However, with the Course in Miracles mojo on, there's a filter now that actually sees love's presence in what the ego's showing you, and it makes the whole place a lot more interesting and less confrontational.
I had an experience of that with my sister, mm-hmm. and because family is all the past mm-hmm. triggers, mm-hmm. all of it. Mm-hmm. And we were traveling to lunch, we're settling up our parents' affairs, and all of a sudden my sister became hypercritical of me. Mm-hmm. It didn't make sense, and I started feeling hurt, right? Mm-hmm. I started, why are you saying this, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I got it. She was in pain asking for love, mm-hmm. and all I had to say, and I'm going to get a little emotional, mm-hmm. was, I know you must really miss Mom and Dad. Mm-hmm. And the dam broke. Mm-hmm. It was like the heavens opened up. Mm-hmm. We embraced, and from that moment onward, our relationship has been pure. It's been golden. Mm-hmm. And we live very different lives. She doesn't have any comprehension of where I am, but yet it was a spiritual experience for both of us.
She had an extension. Spiritual experience.
That Misako talks about so often.
You had an essential joining. You had a piece that did not follow understanding.
I could feel my ego because I hadn't been in that place of pain in a very long time. Uh-huh. With
ego got you up,
And your Holy Spirit brought you right back down to sanity. In fact, you answered a call to love with love.
And it was just amazing how it happened, because I went, this is insanity. And then it clicked.
Yes.
And then so much of the practice, just the words just flowed.
Yes.
And the recognition that we talk about here just became so clear.
Yes.
That it wasn't about it.
And you, in that moment, performed the miracle, not because it was a Course in Miracles phrase.
No.
It's because you were starting to connect with your Holy Spirit. You went quiet, and you did not speak from your ego. You had a feeling now.
I was sad. I was crying. I was so saddened by...
Yes.
I was feeling so hurt for a period of time.
Yes.
Brief.
Yes.
But
yes, certainly.
Intense.
Yes. Yes. You were calling for a miracle. You did not want to be sad. This is your sister. I want to be happy. It doesn't make sense. It's crazy. Somewhere in there, you stopped the cycle that the ego would have taken
you
down.
She wanted out of the car. And I told her, you're not getting out of the car until we make this better.
Oh,
and
she
then
helped.
That was when I realized this is... I mean, it was a process. It didn't just happen instantly. It was a process that... And I'm sure it took some time, but it seemed instantly when the minute something shifted that it happened.
At some point, you abandoned what the ego would have had you to do. You abandoned it. And this is you answering the Holy Spirit in you that says, there's a better way, and I want it. And by somehow, and I'm telling you, and this is an instant, it's a holy instant that occurs. First, a miracle, it's a shift in perception. Sister does not actually hate me. This doesn't make sense. She's not coming after me for some reason. What good is it? I mean, neither of us cares that much about that. This kind of thoughts allow you to breathe just for a second. What else could this be? Now you've gone, now you said, I do not know.
I did not know.
Did you do that? That's a great way to break the ego cycle. As we learn page 660, it's the last thing the ego wants to say.
Because I really didn't know.
But you really didn't know. See? That's nice. You were willing to admit that, and that stops the cycle of ego. That allows for a shift in perception. That's what the word miracle means in the front of this book. That you stop your sequential path into hell, and you actually allow a translation of the situation. In this case, from anger and attack to an emptiness that is calling for love. And she just heard it. And she said, you really miss Mom and Dad. Boom! That's not in the book to say those words. But it is in the book.
Spiritual jujitsu.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, what she did do is she allowed the miracle. She looked behind the grievance, okay? Behind the trouble. You got to have trouble to have a miracle. Like it or not. You got to have trouble. No trouble, no miracle. No miracle needed. You got trouble? Miracle right behind it. She had trouble. Miracle. Had the shift in perception. From there, she followed it with release of all the really ugly things and the finger gestures that Michaeline is fully capable of. Dropped that. That's forgiveness. That's the release of the ego's way. Let it go entirely. And then now, allowed it to be replaced with this love feeling that happened to utter the words, you really miss Mom and Dad.
It's a family pattern that was broken because that was the way that the family communicated. Mm-hmm. I didn't always understand that as a child growing up, but that's how it was communicated often. Mm-hmm. It was through attack.
Yes, yes.
You know, not... And it's just a little higher level, I think, of getting it because of the fact that it was family.
No doubt. Family, spouses, children, these are very special relationships that can bring maximal learning very quickly.
So I detect here some wisdom tonight. So I'm going to try to remember it. So the way I'm going to try to remember it, just restating it. Basically, if I'm having a problem, what I want to do is just because if I keep on dealing with it the way I'm dealing with it, with my ego response, I'm going to get the same problems. I think there's an expression about that, something to do with insanity. But I digress. So what I'm going to do is actually I'm just going to give it to the Holy Spirit with an I don't know about this. I just don't know. I don't want the pain. What I just don't know what to do now. And I'm going to make a conscious effort to remember to do that, actually, yes. Yes. First.
Yes.
But,
yes. Yes.
Try to incorporate that wisdom.
Yes.
And, you know, because it sounds so genuine and so real and such an application of the Course that I want to take it home with me.
Thank you, John.
That's great.
Thank you for surfacing that again for us. Yes.
Yeah, it works really well.
That's how we study A Course in Miracles. We apply it. It's good. Well, let's continue with the little time we have left. Walt, you up? Paragraph 2, listen to this.
The one holy true thought one can hold about the past is that it is not here. To think about it at all is therefore to think about illusions. Very few have realized what is actually entailed in picturing the past or in anticipating the future. The mind is actually blank when it does this because it is not really thinking about anything.
Did you guys hear that? This authority just described what your mind is doing when you're fantasizing about the future or the past. Problem with the past is it's over. Problem with the future, it never comes. So he says your mind's actually blank. When he says mind here, he's talking about the true you. It's actually disengaged. There's no creation going on. There's no love going on. There's nothing going on. Isn't that all very clear? Oh, my goodness. Well, let's read one more paragraph of this goodness. Stephen?
The purpose of this exercise for today is to begin to train your mind to recognize when it is not really thinking at all. While thoughtless ideas preoccupy your mind, the truth is blocked. Recognizing that your mind has been merely blank, rather than believing that it is filled with real ideas, is the first step to opening the way to vision.
It's the first step to opening the way to vision. Is to get present, please. Thank you. And you just transcend. You know, all the stinking thinking about the past or what this means, what will happen in the future, if what this person let this person say what they said. Oh, wow, you're anywhere but the present. Yeah.
Can I say that I have the deepest appreciation for who you are for us, how you conduct this gathering, how the way in which we interact with this material. I also have the deepest admiration and appreciation, particularly tonight when everybody has just dug so deep, that it just makes it so real, the path that we're on and how it's showing up. And so thank you all. Thank you for
back at you,
us
brother.
The space.
And yeah, the
being
space.
A person who generates this space for us. And, you know, thank yes. everybody else for just showing up so fucking real.
Yeah, and your utter exposed honesty, as you described for us, that potato thing. Mm-hmm. Listen, man, I was moved by that. That's real deal. And you and your pillow is the real deal.
All of us.
Yeah, good job. Yeah, yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah, good, thank you. You're welcome. Just before we go back to our reading and finish up that paragraph, check out how the belief, okay, belief and religion and spirituality is all kind of tied in, right? We're moving somewhere with this belief as the concept, and you follow the belief to faith, and you actually say or do something within your religion or within your spiritual beliefs, so that you can go to the truth. Well, the ego's way is the past will teach you the truth. That's what it believes. Of course, says this is a very, very expensive fantasy. It happens to be completely untrue. You're way more free than that. Oh, isn't that great? Okay, so we can spend all night on that one, but we're not going to. We're going to go back and finish up page 402, please. So a major tenet in the ego's in the same religion is that sin is not error but truth, and it's innocence that would deceive. Innocence can't be true. Guilt is always true. If you say you're innocent, you're hiding something. You're deluded. You must be deluding yourself if you think you're fully innocent, says the ego. Or you're lying. If you said you're innocent, you must be lying. And Jesus did this, and they crucified him, hung him up, nails, and let him bleed out. But you know, that's what the ego, that's the world that we're working in here. Purity is seen as arrogance, and acceptance of the self as sinful. See, now that's perceived as holiness. Mm-hmm. I am such a sinner. Catholic was trying to teach me as a little boy that you're a sinner. You started out as a sinner. Now we're going to help you, if you follow, we're going to help you get away from this absolute truth that you are born a sinner. You don't have to argue with us that you're a sinner or not. You are. The book says you are, you are. And the sooner you admit that, the more pure and God will accept you. Oh my God, I had a hard time with that. But I told that story a couple times already, so we'll go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And it's this doctrine that replaces the reality of the Son of God and His Father has created Him and willed that He be forever. So, of course, Miracle says you were created completely opposite of that as a sinner. No. You were created as the Creator. You were created as an extension of God's very own will. This book explains in detail, as we'll get to later. And the Course makes a distinction between will and wish. A wish is it may or may not happen. A will is here we go. I have full authority and power to do so, and it is done. It's a big difference. We'll investigate that more. You are the will of God. It's good news. Okay, is this humility or is it rather an attempt to wrest creation away from truth and keep it separate? Beautiful. Okay, so the few minutes we have left, let's look a little deeper into that before we part. We jump into back into the workbook and go to workbook 182. And let's just read a little bit about God's plan for us here. What's going on? Which we would just get off of the contraction and go into a bit of trust. What's really going on? Julie, would you start for us?
God's will for me is perfect happiness. Today, we will continue with the theme of happiness. This is a key idea in understanding what salvation means. You still believe it asks for suffering as penance for your sins. This is not so. Yet you must think it so while you believe that sin is real and that God's Son can sin.
Donnie, you ready for paragraph two?
Yes, I am. If sin is real, then punishment is just and cannot be escaped. Salvation, thus, cannot be purchased but through suffering. If sin is real, then happiness must be illusion, for they cannot both be true. The sinful warrant only death and pain, and it is this they ask for they know it waits for them, and it will seek them out and find them somewhere, sometime, in some form that evens the account they owe to God. They would escape Him in their fear, and yet He will pursue, and they cannot escape.
The author knows this topic of sin. Yeah, and this guilt. Let's continue. Stephen?
If sin is real, salvation must be pain. Pain is the cost of sin, and suffering can never be escaped if sin is real. Salvation must be feared, for it will kill, but slowly, taking everything away before it grants the welcome boon of death to victims who are little more than bones before salvation is appeased. Its wrath is boundless, merciless, but wholly just.
But wholly just, I mean, after all, you did sin. You did sin, and you need to pay for that, according to this idea of sin, the unforgivable mistake. We're going to strip everything that was good about you out. You don't deserve it. And with what's left, that's how you will abide in purgatory. Oh my God, this is getting heavy.
The world has institutionalized that. In yep. every culture, there is an action and punishment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And you know, I just had a glimpse of what the world would be like if punishment didn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah. What if understanding existed?
Yeah. Also, success and reward is the opposite of that.
Yeah, right, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. And that exists here too.
So it's the opposite again. If religions are worldly, then the religions start with you're guilty, and maybe if you go through this life and do what we say, you might have salvation. Both spirituality, maybe starting with looking at what is spirit, what's your relationship.
We are innocent.
And here you're starting.
Yes, the truth.
Which again is a mirror of 180 degrees.
Thank you. David.
Who would seek out such savage punishment? Who would not flee salvation and tempt in every way he can to draw the voice which offers it to
drown. To drown out the voice that offers salvation to him. If salvation means we're going to strip you bare and leave your bones left only, I don't want to meet that God. Please continue.
Why would he try to listen and accept its offering? If sin is real, its offering is death, and meted out in cruel form to match the vicious wishes in which sin is born. If sin is real, salvation has become the bitter enemy, the curse of God upon you who have crucified his Son.
The author recognizes the potency of sin in this world. You need the practice periods today. If you think sin is real, you need the practice periods today. The exercises teach sin is not real, and all that you believe must come from sin will never happen, for it has no cause. Accept atonement with an open mind, which cherishes no lingering belief that you've made a devil of God's son. Look, there is no sin. We practice with this thought as often as we can today because it's the basis for today's idea, which is God's will for me is perfect happiness. Brother John?
God's will for you is perfect happiness because there is no sin and suffering is causeless. Joy is just and pain is but the sign you have misunderstood yourself. Fear not the will of God, but turn to it in confidence that it will set you free from all the consequences sin has wrought in feverish imagination. Say, God's will for me is perfect happiness. There is no sin. It has no consequence.
Thank you. We're going to stop there. All that talk of sin, I thought we should probably wrap it on a good note. That's
either that or have a cigarette.
Let's have a circle. How about you guys? Take a deep breath. And let that be your little sign that you join this circle. Each of you have just read a very, very powerful promise, which announced that the truth that we're all seeking to get it, the truth is that in your creation, you were designed for perfect
happiness. Perfect happiness. Now, thing just said in black and white, and it says it again and again, but it says, you see, the perfect happiness is afforded for you with what you really are, because there is nothing you can do that would be held against you. Ever. And certainly not as serious as something like sin. It doesn't actually exist, see? Because of what you truly are, you cannot go astray. You can't do it wrong. There is no religion that holds sway over your true being that says there's a wrong way. There is no wrong way. The truth is true. Only that is true. You may be dreaming of a wrong way. You may be dreaming, experiencing things that you prefer not be. But even that, with a proper perspective, is powered by love. You can align, like the guru we talked about, like the one who came and speak to the one who is still cussing and swearing and lighting things on fire. But he knows, he sees the child calling for love the whole way through. This is your true being. When you just rest, you go right there. When you just rest in the absolute present, you go right to love. It's the power of the present moment. It's the way to know and experience that there is no sin. Thank you, amen. Mm-hmm. Good job, everybody. Nice cooperation. Thank you, Donna.
But it was nice. Also fun because of them. So. Yeah. I can laugh, but just... No, I really